Big Hand. Let's get moving, everyone. We have another walk ahead of us. A handful of groans filtered into the air as the two groups of adventurers shifted away from us and began their journey away from the ruin.
Oh no! Are those groans I hear?
Sierra called out to the two groups in mock anger.
Well, it looks like our nice walk just turned into a run. Let's go! Move your feet!
Poor bastards.
Sawyer couldn't help but laugh as the two groups of departing adventurers suddenly launched into a jog at the red-haired scout's urging.
Just wait until you see what we had planned for them,
Freya replied, giving Sawyer a knowing look.
What?
There will be time for talking later,
Stanton interrupted as he motioned towards the hub entrance and began walking towards it, tossing the reins of his horse to Samuel.
Let us get a move on into the rune. Samuel will secure my mount and join us when he can.
Of course,
Samuel replied, his voice clearly carrying a tone of annoyance with the task that Stanton had saddled him with. I guess everyone has their limits, I noted as Samuel gently led the horse to a nearby tree, where he could tie him up with a scowl on his face. I suppose being used as a personal valet is his.
I will lead the way,
Donovan stated firmly as he rushed ahead of Stanton.
The entrance is warded by my key.
Warded?
Ransom asked as we all began to climb up the avalanche of rocks that led to the entrance's mouth.
Why did you have to ward it?
Because there is an exposed section of the ley line in this ruin, I replied, looking over at Ransom. And we don't want to risk a wandering critter having a chance of falling into it? Again?
Wait. Something fell into it before?
Ransom asked, just as we reached the mouth of the entrance and Donovan began to unravel the protections that he had laid down several weeks earlier.
What was it? What happened?
A spider, I replied, seeing that everyone was looking at me with curiosity, including Stanton. As for what happened, well, that's a long story.
This is amazing.
Stanton's voice echoed through the massive domed chamber that formed the heart of the translocation hub, everyone else save Donovan, Amaranth, and I echoing words of amazement as the four mages directed several glowing balls of light through the air.
This place is huge,
Sawyer said, glancing between me and the wide open room.
Do you have any idea what it may have been used for in the past?
Not really. I lied, sticking to the story that we had agreed on, deciding against telling Stanton or any of the others the true nature of the Nefarian ruin. Save that it was something that drew directly on the ley line and was an important part of the city that was once here.
I see,
Stanton said numbly, his attention still focused on the chamber around us.
Given the strange magics we faced after Lyrian unfroze me, I have one theory that this place may have been a research lab of some sort,
Donovan stated.
But it could have very well been a gladiatorial ring, given the nature of the battle we had. It is impossible to say with certainty.
There is nothing like this chamber in Iberia. At least nothing that we've discovered,
Stanton told us, fixing his intense gaze on me as he spoke.
There is so much that we have yet to discover, that has been ignored due to the war and a lack of ether to conduct proper research.
This place is certainly Nefarian in origin,
Quincy added as he looked up at the smooth stone above us.
I recognize some of the similar architecture, yet there are some cultural differences, perhaps.
Not all of it is completely the same.
Iberia, or whatever the Nefarian city that is now Iberia, is quite far away from here, I said, despite barely knowing anything about the Nefar. It's not surprising that their culture would be different.
True,
Samuel agreed.
However, we have some evidence to suggest that the Nefar were able to communicate over vast distances, something that allowed them to coordinate their forces against the Arovian dynasty to great effect.
even if it didn't allow them to win the war. Had they not lost access to their supply of ether, they may have,
Donovan said.
Whatever cataclysm befell the area here spelled the end for the Nafar back at Iberia. All of their technology depended on having access to the ley line. The moment it dried up, so did their chances of survival.
Pity that the first moment we have an opportunity to study more of our city's history, another war looms to threaten our way of life,
Stanton whispered bitterly, his sour tone sounding surprisingly genuine to my ears. Stanton paused for a moment as he glanced around the chamber, his eyes following the floating balls of light as they illuminated the chamber, revealing the setting where the large crystal we'd been forced to destroy once was. With a loud sigh, he tore his gaze away from the sight, motioning towards me as he spoke.
"You mentioned that there were other chambers here," he said. "Was there anything left behind? Anything at all?"
"Nothing that we could find," I replied to Stanton as I motioned for us to slowly start making our way towards the far end of the chamber and down the incline that led to the lower levels of the hub. There are a number of hallways on the upper level that collapsed, likely due to whatever blast destroyed the city. It may be possible to excavate them in the future, but we haven't had the time or reason to do so just yet. As for the lower level rooms that were left intact, we didn't find anything of interest inside them save for the ley line at the very bottom. Whatever Nafar survived the destruction of the city must have stripped the place before abandoning it. Or the invading Dark Elves did afterward, I continued, indicating the collapsed hallways as we slowly began to descend deeper into the ruin.
"I wonder how large the Nafarian city here was,"
Lazarus said, speaking up for the first time since entering the ruin.
"If you drop the city of Iberia where Crater Lake is, I think it would sprawl wide enough to include this place within its limits."
"I would give much to find out myself,"
Donovan added, nodding along with Lazarus' statement.
"The little we've been able to piece together from the records and maps in Iberia is that the Nafar had three major cities across this region, with the other city much, much further north. I can't help but wonder if it escaped the war unscathed."
"It may be worth a journey one day to see,"
Freya commented, sharing Donovan's excitement.
"But it'll have to wait until we're settled and Aldford is more established."
"Agreed," Donovan stated, "though at the rate things are proceeding, that may end up being sooner rather than later."
We continued to talk amongst ourselves as we slowly descended deeper into the ruin, Stanton and the other mages commenting excitedly on everything around us, leaving both Frey and myself slightly taken back by their reaction. I didn't know what had exactly come over Stanton since entering the ruins, but his haughty and abrasive demeanor had vanished, replaced with a genuine curiosity of what this place once was and the people who had lived here. "I suppose you can have ulterior motives and still share an interest in something," I thought, keeping a subtle eye on the man as we reached the final approach to the ley line below, the air before us humming with magic. "But I suppose seeing the ruin may make him even more inclined to try and take it from us." "Hold up!" I called out to everyone, bringing everyone to a stop just before they crossed over into the magic-filled area. "Past this point, you're going to be affected by ether sickness, and you won't be able to stay here long without risking your health. If you want to see the ley line, you'll have a couple minutes at best. Then you should get back here to safety."
"And if we don't?" Lazarus asked from behind me.
"Then you risk being transformed into a ghoul,"
Quincy said softly, his gaze landing on me as he spoke.
"Or
you end up looking like me," I finished, meeting the mage's eyes without flinching, knowing exactly what was going through his mind. "And I assure you, how I look is the absolute best-case scenario that prolonged contact with ether will get you."
"Noted,"
Lazarus replied, his gaze dropping down from my face as he looked at my withered body.
"Let us see,"
Stanton said eagerly, taking a step forward down the final ramp.
"I have come too far to leave without seeing the ley line."
"I pray that is all we see,"
Donovan muttered as we all moved to follow the noble.
"And that no new horror is waiting for us. I still find my dreams plagued by nightmares about what we found here before.
Moving in silence, we descended into the bottommost room of the ruin that housed the ley line. Everyone save Amaranth and I audibly grunting as we entered the ether-filled area, causing their stomachs to clench with nausea.
I had forgotten how pleasant this energy was,
Amaranth told me while purring contentedly as we all walked towards the ley line.
If I did not know better, I would think I was lying out in the sun.
It certainly feels better than the last time we were here, I admitted to the cat, feeling my body begin to subconsciously draw on the ether in the room, causing my skin to tingle underneath my armor. In the time it took us to cross the room, I felt the exertions of the day fade away, leaving me staring down at the ley line as if I'd slept for the entire night, my body practically trembling with energy.
So, this is it,
Stanton stated in a weak voice, his free arm curling itself around his midsection as he spoke.
A ley line, and more ether than I have ever seen in my life.
All the ether ever created in Iberia would not match what courses through this river every second,
Donovan said in a tight voice, clearly feeling the effects of ether sickness as we all looked down at the azure river that had carved a channel through the floor.
This? Oh!
Samuel's words died in his throat as he looked up towards me, then flinched in surprise, his eyes going wide.
Larian! What are you doing?
What? I looked at the mage with confusion, seeing that everyone else was staring at me, their eyes wide. I'm not doing anything, just standing here?
Lear, your eyes, the veins on your face,
Freya whispered worriedly.
They're all glowing.
Oh, I breathed, feeling slightly embarrassed, as I suddenly understood everyone's reaction. As it was, my gaunt appearance was enough to unsettle someone, let alone have everyone see the veins under my skin begin to glow. Another side effect from my ether warping, I guess.
Does it hurt?
I heard Sawyer's shaky voice ask as he took a step away from the ley line to get a better look at me. No, I replied, shaking my head. I feel fine. Great, even.
A curious affliction,
Stanton said while inclining his head away from the ley line to look at me.
But perhaps we should heed Lyrian's earlier warning and retreat from this room before the sickness affects us any further.
A chorus of assent rose from Stanton's statement, everyone happy with their momentary glimpse at the river of ether. I'll be right behind you all, I called, remembering something I wanted to do the next time I visited the ley line and turned my attention back to the river of ether, Amaranth moving to join me by my side. I just need to do something first. Hearing everyone leave behind me, I raised my hand and slowly pulled the gloves I was wearing off, immediately being greeted by a spidery network of glowing veins that crisscrossed my palm. Ooh, I can only imagine how my face looks. I couldn't help but think as I clenched my hand into a fist and relaxed it, trying to force myself past a familiar wave of self-consciousness due to my warped appearance. Focusing on what I'd come here to do, I reached into my inventory and pulled out one of the several large bronze jugs that I'd crafted late last night and knelt down towards the ley line, keeping a tight grip on the jug's handle.
Hopefully this works,
I whispered to Amaranth, who watched me curiously as I plunged the bronze vessel into the ley line and watched it fill full of the azure liquid. It only took a few seconds for the jug to fill itself, before I pulled it out of the ley line and set it down on the ground beside me, a small tag appearing in my vision as I focused on the now full container. Ether-filled bronze jug. Quantity, 1. Item class, magical. Item quality, average, plus 0%. Durability, 0 out of 0. Weight, 3 kilograms.
Doesn't look like it's gonna melt or explode so far, I whispered to Amaranth, and I watched the ether-filled jug carefully, ensuring that it didn't do something strange before I put it back into my inventory.
Were you expecting it to?
Amaranth questioned, regarding me warily with an azure-colored eye as he backed away from the jug. Maybe, I replied with a shrug as I pulled out a cap and screwed the jug shut tightly, then pulled a similar jug from my inventory and repeated the process a second time. I don't know. It seems like it's going to be fine.
I believe I will wait for you from a distance,
my familiar said in a nervous voice, putting even distance between me and the ley line.
Death may not hold sway over me any longer, but I am loath to repeat the experience once more.
Stop worrying, I told the cat, as I set the second jug down beside the first and capped it, pulling out a third from my pack. I'm almost done.
Just how many of these vessels are you filling?
Amaranth asked, a worried croak coming from his throat, as I finished filling the third jug and pulled out a fourth.
I must know how wide a berth to give you for the rest of the day, in case you erupt.
Just one more, scaredy cat, I told Amaranth with amusement as I filled the final jug and capped it. Standing up from my crouched position over the ley line, I turned to look at the four large containers that I'd filled with ether, each of them standing on the ground without any visible reaction. That should hopefully be enough for what I'm planning.
And what would that be?
The azure-furred puma asked me from his sitting position halfway across the room. My next crafting project. Chapter 17. It was late afternoon by the time Stanton, Quincy, and Samuel had had their fill of exploring and searching through the translocation hub, the trio having gone through nearly every inch of it with the new Erovian etherscopes. For hours, the three were completely enthralled with researching the ruin, and just as I was starting to get concerned that we would have to make the trek back to Aldford in the dark, Stanton called an end to their initial survey, citing that as interesting as the ruin was, he didn't believe that it had anything to do with the ley line rupture, and that any further exploration would have to be done at a later date when they had more time, and less pressing matters to attend to.
Almost done,
Donovan said to me, bringing me back to the present as Freya and I stood at the mouth of the hub's entrance, watching him weave another ward into being, sealing the place from uninvited visitors. The last thing any of us needed was having another creature falling into the ley line and getting warped into some sort of monstrosity that would terrorize the countryside. No rush, I replied to Donovan as I scanned through a pair of quest updates that had appeared in my vision a few moments earlier. Quest update, the ruptured ley line. You've shown Lord Stanton and his retinue the ancient transport hub and allowed them to explore it freely. However, based on your suspicions from statecraft, deception, and veracity, you have decided to keep its true purpose hidden from him and his group. With one ruin explored and nothing that could help you pinpoint the ruptured ley line, Stanton has now requested for you to take him to the Crater Lake ruins. Escort Lord Stanton to the ancient transport hub, 1 out of 1. Escort Lord Stanton to the Crater Lake ruins, 0 out of 1. Ley line sealed, 0 out of 1. Difficulty, legendary. Reward, experience and renown. Penalty for failure, Aldford and the surrounding region will be destroyed. Quest update, statecraft, deception and veracity. After showing Lord Stanton the ancient transport hub, you've noticed that Stanton shares a genuine interest in Nefarian lore and history. But despite that, you've noticed him bearing an abrasive and abrupt attitude towards Lazarus and his other companions. It is clear that there is more going on under the surface than first glance would suggest. Collect more information before making a decision. Evidence supporting the adventurer's story, 1 out of question mark. Evidence supporting Stanton's story, 1 out of question mark. Difficulty, very hard. Reward, unknown. Penalty for failure, unknown. Dismissing the two updates from my vision, I couldn't help but feel frustrated with the second quest's update and its relative lack of substance. During our time exploring the ruin, I'd hoped that an opportunity would present itself to leave the mages to their own devices and speak with Lazarus or one of his companions privately about obtaining their feed. But no matter what we did, one of the mages always seemed to be within earshot or needed to ask me a vague question I couldn't possibly answer. It's almost as if they're purposefully trying to keep us apart or monitor our conversations, I thought, shaking my head as I watched Donovan complete the ward around the entrance.
There, that should do it,
Donovan announced, turning his face to me with a weary expression and lowering his voice.
I've included a few tricks in the ward this time around, should someone try to break it.
No matter what they do to disenchant the main ward, there are other small wards that will ensure that we are alerted immediately.
Good, I replied, nodding at Donovan before shifting my glance to Stanton and the others who were waiting at the base of the rock slide. Hopefully we don't need them.
Hopefully,
Freya echoed as she shifted her spear in her hand and moved to start climbing down the rocks.
The air has become heavier out here,
Amaranth told me as we moved to rejoin the group, the cat's eyes staring upwards.
And the sky darkens in the distance. The storm tonight will be vicious.
Following my familiar's gaze, I saw the dark clouds on the northern horizon as they passed over a distant pair of mountains, remembering his earlier prediction for the day. It looks like there's a storm on its way, I told everyone as we reached the base of the incline, focusing my attention on the older noble, who was looking in much better shape than he had earlier in the morning. We need to regroup with the rest of the guild and start heading back before long. The other ruins are back by Crater Lake, and I'd rather not be caught out this far from Oldford in the middle of a storm.
Having traveled through more than one thunderstorm on our way up here, I second that,
Ransom said, watching the distant clouds.
I agree,
Stanton replied, his gaze wandering to the coming storm, then back to me.
Your guild will take point once more, and we will follow close behind.
Without another word, the ten of us split into our own groups once more, Freya, Amaranth, Donovan, and I taking the lead, as we used our party sense to navigate our way to the hunting ground that Sierra had picked out, with Stanton and the others following a few dozen paces behind.
They like to make it clear that we're not part of their circle,
Freya whispered to me after we'd been traveling for a while.
Close enough to work together, but not close enough to hear what they're saying.
Yep, I replied, casting a subtle glance over my shoulder, pretending that I was making sure that everyone was still accounted for. Allies of convenience, I guess.
Those are the only allies a noble like Stanton can ever have,
Donovan said pessimistically, the man having been uncharacteristically quiet all day.
Why do you think I worked so hard not to be affiliated with a house? I've seen firsthand what happens when a patron pulls their support from someone they no longer need, and I wanted no part of it.
I can imagine,
Freya stated, her demeanor suddenly getting sharper as she scanned the forest to our right.
We have to be getting closer to where they stopped to hunt. I'm starting to see creatures on the tree line.
They should be somewhere northeast of us, I said, following Freya's eyes and spotting a pair of brown furred shapes running about the edge of the forest, a tag briefly appearing in my vision and pointing to the creatures. Greenwood Badger, level 14.
Level 14?
My eyes couldn't help but open wide in surprise as I saw three more badgers bound into view, their heads popping up to look in our direction warily before scampering off out of sight. This area looks to be even more densely packed and higher leveled than the wolverine-filled plains closer to Aldford.
I wonder how the rest of the guild is doing,
I commented as we gave the badger-filled tree line a wide berth. I'm a little jealous they had half the day to hunt while we were busy standing around with Stanton.
I feel like I'm behind again in levels. I hear you,
Freya said with a note of amusement in her voice.
But we still do have something to look forward to once we get there.
That's true, I replied with a smile. I wonder how Stanton and the others will react.
React to what?
Donovan asked, having not been filled in on what we were planning once we rejoined with the rest of the guild.
Is something going on?
We're hoping to put on a show for him and the other adventurers,
Freya told the man vaguely, sharing the same smile I had on her face.
To see just how far we can trust them in a pinch.
A show?
Donovan repeated, a worried look coming over his face.
Lyrian, Freya, what are you going to do?
Don't worry about it, Donovan, I soothed. Just be sure to have your wand handy for when it starts.
When what starts?
The man asked, doing his best to keep his voice down.
You'll know it when you see it,
Freya replied unhelpfully.
Lyr?
Donovan gasped in exasperation just as I cut him off. Oh, I think I see them, I announced loudly, drowning out Donovan's growing protests as the forest beside us began to recede, revealing several people sitting around a large rock in the distance. Moving with renewed purpose, Freya, Amaranth, and I practically left Donovan behind as we put on a burst of speed, eager to rejoin the rest of Virtus. Scrambling, Donovan was forced to abandon his line of questioning in order to keep pace with us, but I couldn't help but notice that he had taken my words to heart and was now holding his wand in his hand, his knuckles clenched white as he glanced around nervously.
Hey! You guys made it!
Constantine greeted us cheerfully as we approached, both he and Sierra sitting on top of the rock without a care in the world, while six bloody, dirty, and exhausted-looking adventurers lay in the grass surrounding it.
We were wondering if you guys would ever show up.
It took longer than we expected, I replied with a shrug, seeing that Alistair was among the adventurers resting, his armor badly scratched and even rent apart in places. I see you're all having a productive day getting the new recruits in shape.
Ha!
Alistair grunted dryly while sitting up from his prone position after hearing my voice.
You may call having to deal with giant snakes falling from trees right on top of you and vicious badgers popping out of holes in the ground to bite your ankles productive, but if I didn't know any better, I'd call it hazing.
It can be both,
Constantine replied without missing a beat, his gaze shifting past me as Stanton and his group approached.
What level was your perception skill when we started?
Zero,
Alistair answered with resignation.
And now?
Nearly level 12.
If that's not productive, may the gods strike me down,
Constantine declared mockingly, raising hands to the sky.
And when you fed us those mushrooms?
Alistair asked as he forced himself up onto his feet, turning to look up at the rogue.
You said they were fine to eat.
I said I thought they were fine to eat,
Constantine replied, rolling his eyes.
And I was right. The red ones were. Only after everyone who ate a purple or green one vomited,
Sierra added as she hopped down from the rock and down to our level, holding a fist-sized mushroom in her hand.
You're not helping, Sierra,
Constantine grunted as he followed her down from the rock. Not trying to help, she replied with a shrug, before turning her attention towards me and tossing the mushroom in my direction. The forest here's filled with these red mushrooms, along with a few other types that aren't edible. That should definitely help with our food problem, I said with relief, catching the mushroom and bringing up its description. How many have we found so far? Red speckled mushroom, item class, herb, benefit unknown, herbalism skill too low to identify, weight 0.1 kilogram. At least 200 in our group so far, she replied, waving a hand in the direction of the forest while giving me a sharp glance with a single raised eyebrow. Plus whatever the others end up bringing back.
That's great, I said enthusiastically, nodding to Sierra as I spoke. That'll solve our food problems in the short term.
Hopefully the other group was just as lucky.
They've been out there a while,
Constantine chimed in, just as Sierra dropped from our party, sending our prearranged signal to the other members of our group that were deep in the forest.
Hopefully they won't be too much longer.
Is our food supply that dear of a concern?
Stanton asked, finally deciding to join the conversation as everyone spread out around us.
I have never seen a land as lush as this region. Surely it would be easier to raise crops.
One day it might be, Constantine replied. But growing our own food takes time. Time that we don't have after everyone arrived.
Hunting is how we survive out here, I added as I re-invited Sierra to our group and watched the forest's edge, waiting for the rest of the party to appear. We've made great strides so far, but it's going to be a while until the farms are up and running, then even longer until we're able to reliably grow things without a wandering creature threatening the farmers working in the field and eating the crops.
I see,
Stanton said, as if the realities of frontier life were new to him.
I didn't realize.
There's a big difference between living in the city and out in the wild, Sierra stated. We're truly on our own out here.
It doesn't seem too bad to me,
I heard Sawyer's voice say from behind me.
It's peaceful out here compared to the crush of the city.
Not as many people around and rushing about.
Maybe for you guys, I said, taking my eyes off the forest for a moment to look at Sawyer. But from our perspective, our population just tripled.
I hear shouting from the woods and many running feet.
Amaranth's sudden mental intrusion, coupled with a warning croak, caused me to lose my train of thought as I processed what he had said and turned to look at my familiar, seeing that he had pressed himself close to the ground with his ears flat on his head.
Something very large is moving through the forest behind them.
What's wrong?
Lazarus began to ask, a heartbeat before several thunderclaps of magic echoed from the forest, sending a rush of countless birds fleeing into the sky and out of the forest.
Shit! Something must have happened!
Looks like it, I replied slowly, watching the forest worriedly as several balls of magic erupted from underneath the canopy before vanishing into the sky.
Shit! I told them to pull enough creatures to stage a good fight in front of Stanton, not to annoy the entire forest!
I felt my heart begin to race as the resting adventurers all shot to their feet and formed into a group beside me. As Lazarus and his friends moved to surround Stanton, his horse began to whinny nervously.
What's going on?
I heard Samuel shout from behind me.
It looks like the other group bit off more than they could chew!
Constantine called out as the shouts from the forest finally began to reach our ears.
What are we gonna do?
Quincy asked worriedly, his voice breaking as he spoke.
What else is there to do?
Freya spat as she fell in on my right-hand side.
Get ready to fight! They're coming our way for help!
They're coming here?
Quincy gasped as a single adventurer carrying a bow rushed out of the forest ahead of us, immediately angling his flight towards us.
No!
Shut up and draw your weapon, Quincy!
Lazarus's bark from behind me silenced the mage's protests. Springing with long, rapid strides, the adventurer closed the distance between us, his voice arriving barely seconds ahead of himself.
Giant snake incoming!
He managed as he bent himself double, desperately gasping for air to fill his lungs.
We didn't know!
Breathe, Amaron,
Sierra said as the elven adventurer descended into a coughing fit as he tried to inhale and speak at the same time.
Slow down and breathe. Tell us what happened. There are snakes coming?
Big snake!
Amaron managed, while sucking in a deep breath, waving a hand in the air.
Really big?
How?
I started to ask, just as a flurry of activity from the tree line caught my eye and caused the words to die in my throat. Bursting from the forest in a panicked mass, I saw the missing members of Virtu sprint out from the foliage, Drace's massive form leading the way, with both Caius and Halcyon on either side of him and the other adventurers fanning out half a step behind. No sooner did the group cover more than 10 paces from the forest's edge did a massive, 20-foot-long, emerald-scaled snake launch itself out from the trees, hissing wildly as it chased the fleeing group of adventurers.
Oh, fuck!
Sierra swore, moments before Halcyon's words reached our ears and made everything worse.
Shit! There are two of them!
Chapter 18. No sooner did we have a chance to process Halcyon's words than a second, gray-scaled snake, even larger than the first, charged out of the forest. The sudden appearance of the creature freezing all of us in place. Hissing with rage, the gargantuan 20-foot-long snake rushed after the fleeing adventurers with blinding speed and charged ahead of them, effectively cutting them off from reaching us. In the span of seconds, a relatively peaceful glade had been filled with two absolutely monstrous-sized snakes, both rising up high on their tails as they regarded their now captured prey.
Ranged attackers! Focus on the gray one!
Sierra shouted, recovering from the shock of the second snake first, and seeing both snakes begin working in tandem as they corralled Drace and his group into a circle.
Give our guys a chance to regroup!
With Sierra's voice snapping them out of their surprise, a ragged volley of arrows and magic sailed through the air and splashed against the gray snake's scales, causing the creature to recoil in pain and twist its sinuous body in our direction. A massive forked tongue flicked through the air as the snake then pressed itself against the ground and shot forward towards us, leaving its mate behind to deal with Drace's group.
Melee forward!
I called out, Sierra's shout helping me push through my own initial wave of shock, as I stared at the snake charging towards us and began issuing orders while drawing Razor.
Try to keep the snake's attention on you, and buy time for the ranged attackers to wear it down!
With no better plan for the moment, I decided to lead by example, taking the first step forward towards the oncoming snake, reflexively casting lesser shielding on myself as I desperately tried to figure out what I was going to do when the snake came into range. Focusing on the two massive creatures in hopes of getting a better idea of what we were up against, I saw two tags appear in my vision. Emerald Moss Snake, Rare Boss, Level 14. Gray Moss Snake, Rare Boss, Level 14.
They brought back two rare boss creatures?
I couldn't help but mentally curse at the other group, praying that we would be able to find a way to kill the pair without our whole group being killed, or more importantly, one of the NPCs who wouldn't come back to life afterward.
They were just supposed to pull a dozen or so creatures for us to fight, not risk a complete wipe.
As we sprinted towards the rapidly approaching gray-scaled snake, a risky plan snapped into my mind, one that relied on split-second timing, and one that I only had seconds to try and pull off before the opportunity passed.
Doing something stupid!
I informed Freya, at the same moment that I conjured and threw a weak flare spell at the oncoming snake's face, immediately going on to cast Jump a heartbeat afterward. Sailing through the air with precision, my tiny fireball splashed against the gray snake's face, the spell too weak to do anything but get its attention, which was exactly what I wanted right now. Wasting no time after seeing the snake's eyes fixate on me, I leaped high into the air, hearing Freya shout something I couldn't make out. Soaring through the sky, I felt nearly weightless, as my spell practically negated gravity's hold on me, giving me the opportunity to look down at the snake and see the muscles in its body coil as it prepared to snap out at me.
"Take the bait,"
I urged the snake as I felt myself reach the highest point of my jump before beginning my descent downwards.
"Take the bait!"
Exploding with near-blinding speed, I almost reacted too late as the snake launched itself up off the ground and into the air, its mouth opening wide as it sought to catch me in mid-air. At nearly the last possible moment, I triggered Blink Step, choosing a space in the middle of the air just above where I was now. My world blurred into a spray of colors just as a loud snapping sound filled the air, leaving me staring directly into the snake's surprised eyes as I canceled my jump spell and landed directly on top of its head, my free hand grabbing a length of bony ridge above its eye socket.
I can't believe that worked!
The thought pounded through my head as the snake recoiled in rage after realizing what I'd done and began to thrash wildly.
Crap! On second thought, I didn't quite think this through!
I wheezed, as my chest slammed into the snake's head and knocked the wind out of me as I desperately tried to keep myself on top of the snake, refusing to let go of Razor in my other hand as it tried to shake me loose.
Can't hold on like this much longer!
Careful not to stab myself, I shifted my grip on my blade and thrust it downward into the snake's skull, hoping to either create a second anchor point on the creature's head so I could maintain my position or be enough of a distraction so that those on the ground could close without worry. Unfortunately for me, however, the snake's skull proved to be too strong for Razor to pierce, the tip of the blade skipping off the bone and carving a long, bleeding gash in the process. Cursing at my ineffectual attempt, I struggled to maintain my grip on the snake's eye socket and raised my sword for another attempt. But before I could bring my blade down, I felt the entire body of the snake recoil as something heavy charged into it from below, a savage feline roar reaching my ears, followed by the shouts of several adventurers. Spitting in pain at the attacks, the moss snake's head shot downwards as it attacked the tiny creatures causing it so much pain, forcing me to abandon my efforts at stabbing the snake's head in favor of trying to maintain my grip. With blinding speed, the snake's attack brought me back practically to ground level, leaving me staring into Freya's surprised eyes as she spotted me holding onto the snake's head.
Lyrian!
She managed to shout just before the snake rushed forward, forcing her to dodge out of the way or be overrun as it circled away from all the adventurers crowding around it and rushed back towards its mate. Clinging onto the snake as it retreated from Freya and the others, I found myself with a perfect view of Drace's side of the battle, seeing the emerald moss snake's head shoot forward with a burst of speed into the mass of adventurers swarming around it, catching an unfortunate guild member in its maw. In one smooth motion, I saw it toss the now screaming man high into the air behind it before returning its attention to the group, leaving the adventurer to windmill his arms uselessly in the sky, then land with a bone-shattering crunch.
Oh, damn!
I exclaimed in between breaths, not seeing the adventurer rise from the snake's attack and feeling a growing numbness in the hand that clung to the snake's head.
I need to slow this guy down from rejoining his mate and give everyone else a chance to catch up,
I told myself while pulling my body forwards towards the snake's brow and gripping Razor tight, another idea on my mind.
But I have a feeling this one is gonna hurt.
Before I could talk myself out of my decision, I pulled myself forward and swung my body over the snake's brow, looking down to see a large yellow eye gazing up at me.
Forgot about me, did ya?
I said to the snake, a heartbeat before I stabbed a crackling razor into the snake's eye, managing to bury the tip of the blade into the creature's head before discharging a shocking touch into the snake, seeing a pair of notifications appear in my combat log. You critically hit a gray moss snake in a vulnerable location for 298 points of damage. Your spell, Shocking Touch, critically hits a gray moss snake for 102 points of electricity damage. Screaming beyond pain, the moss snake recoiled, whipping its head so viciously that my tenuous grip on the snake finally gave up, and I found myself flying through the air, before brutally crashing into the ground and bouncing through tall grass, hearing the sickening snap of bone as my elbow hit something hard and unforgiving. Vision blurring with pain, I let out a brief yelp as I came to a stop, reflexively cradling my shattered arm in close to my chest, the movement only serving to intensify the agony.
Shit, that hurts!
I breathed, the smallest motion of my left arm causing a wave of nausea to grip my stomach. Wincing in pain, I forced myself to take a deep breath and collected myself, seeing a warning alert appear in the corner of my vision, followed by an alert in my combat log. You have fallen for 234 points of damage. You have suffered a broken arm, and the affected limb has been disabled.
Great!
I seethed through clenched teeth as I dismissed the alerts, then forced myself up and into a sitting position, seeing Razor lying in the grass beside me, and suddenly being thankful that I hadn't lost or fallen on top of the blade as I landed. After sitting for a few heartbeats, I felt the pain of my injured arm fade from the forefront of my mind, giving me the clarity to look around the battlefield once more and see the two battles unfolding around me. A glance to my right showed the gray moss snake a fair distance away from me as it continued to thrash wildly in pain. Frey and the others were on the verge of catching up with the creature, which was beginning to look worse for wear with blood streaming from countless broken scales and wounds. Focusing past the snake, I caught a brief glimpse of Stanton, Samuel, and Quincy all standing where we'd left them, watching the battle unfold completely frozen in place.
I guess that tells us everything we need to know about them,
I thought with a scowl as I shifted my head in the other direction, seeing that the battle with the emerald moss snake wasn't proceeding as well in comparison. I saw several unmoving bodies in the distance, with the smaller and agiler serpent having coiled itself around a distant figure and had begun squeezing the life out of it while lashing out at any adventurer that drew within range.
Shit! That's Drace!
I realized as my eyes recognized the familiar armor in the middle of the snake's coils.
I have to see if I can help them before it's too late. The others seem to have the gray snake under control, for the time being.
Pushing myself up onto my feet, I rushed towards Drace and the emerald moss snake, each and every step causing my arm to flare with pain. As I approached the battle, I saw both Caius and Halcyon standing on either side of the snake, the pair throwing balls of magic at the creature with little effect. With several of the other recruits trying to close into melee range, but unable to get past the nimble creature's hissing head.
Lear!
Caius called out without looking at me, sensing my arrival via party sense as he threw another ball of fire at the snake.
Watch out, it's venomous! It'll paralyze you if you get bitten! We've lost at least four to the venom already! Damn, okay!
I called out, understanding now why everyone was hesitant to close with the creature. Raising my voice to the hesitating adventurers, I barked out an order and continued my charge directly towards the snake.
I'm gonna distract it! Rush the creature when you can!
Not waiting for any acknowledgement from the recruits, I looked up at the emerald moss snake's head as I sprinted, seeing its eyes fixate on me and mouth open in preparation to strike. Not trusting myself to get the timing right this time around, I decided to preempt the snake's attack and triggered Blink Step, the spell thankfully not needing a free hand to cast. With a familiar blur of colors, I teleported inside the snake's guard, my feet coming down on smooth scales as I reappeared just a few feet away from Drace.
Lyrian!
The warrior gasped in surprise, his face completely red as the snake's muscular body attempted to crush him, the big man straining desperately to keep the creature at bay.
I could use a hand!
shit, what happened to your arm?
Don't worry about it,
I shouted back to the warrior as I stabbed Razor deep into the moss snake's coiled body that held Drace, throwing my hip against the hilt of the blade to drive it in as deep as possible.
Just be ready to move when it lets you go.
Don't have to tell me twice,
Drace yelled back at me as the creature spasmed from my attack and a loud hissing filled the air.
Oh, fuck, Lear! Dodge left!
Taking Drace's warning to heart, I reacted at the speed of thought and threw myself to the side, yanking Razor free as I moved, barely a heartbeat ahead of the snake's snapping maw. Twisting to look behind me, I found myself barely more than an arm's length away from the bright yellow eyes of the emerald maw snake as it rushed to attack me, its mouth opening once again to strike. Not wanting to end up as a meal, or even suffering a paralytic bite from the creature, I reflexively swept out with Razor, catching the snake across the snout with the tip of the blade and slicing open a line of scales in a spray of blood. Jerking its head away from me in pain, the snake aborted its attack, allowing me the opportunity to sidestep away and take cover behind the bulk of its body, slashing out with Razor as I ran, doing my best to make sure that the creature never had a clear view of me. Frustrated by my speed, the moss snake twisted the length of its body in an attempt to catch me, but was forced to abandon its efforts as the rest of the adventurers finally arrived, their weapons landing punishing blows as they stabbed and sliced deep into the creature. The battle then dissolved into chaos, as half a dozen guild members swarmed over the snake's coiled body, turning its pristine emerald scales into a patchwork of blood and gore. All I heard was magic thundering through the air as balls of fire seared into the snake's flesh, while axes, swords, and spears flashed through the air, turning the ground crimson. However, for as much damage as we did, we weren't all able to escape the snake's wrath indefinitely. Twice the snake managed to catch adventurers too slow to move out of its path or pay sufficient attention to where its head was looking, resulting in one being bitten and left lying on the ground as the venom paralyzed her, the other being swallowed whole, vanishing down the massive creature's throat before any of us could react.
It's getting ready to run!
I heard Drace's distant shout filter into my mind as I carved yet another line into the wounded snake, keeping my eyes focused straight up at its head.
Lyrian, watch out!
With the exhaustion of battle weighing upon me, Drace's warning took too long to penetrate my brain, leaving me glancing away from the snake's head just in time to see its massive tail sweeping across the ground seconds before it hit me. For the second time in the day, I felt myself sailing through the air, reeling from the snake's powerful blow as I numbly considered my combat log, confused by the latest entry that had just appeared. An emerald moss snake kicks you for 155 points of damage. The snake kicked me? The weak thought floated through my confused mind a heartbeat before I crashed back into the ground, bounced twice, and slid to a stop once more, leaving me lying stunned for a moment as my vision blurred from the pain of the landing.
Shit! Lyrian!
Kaius's voice called to me what seemed ages later, his face appearing directly over me.
Your arm!
Broke it earlier.
I told the dark elf weakly as I tried to sit up, only to be forced back down by a steady hand on my chest.
Hold on a second, Lear,
Kaius ordered, taking a deep breath and moving his hand to touch my arm.
You don't look so great. Let me heal you a bit first.
Sure,
I said to the man dizzily, as I felt a wave of energy shoot through me and the pain in my arm recede to a dull throb, the bones forcefully realigning themselves with a disturbing crack.
Thanks, Kaius.
No problem,
Kaius replied wearily, suddenly sounding exhausted as he spoke.
That's the best I can do right now. I don't like my chances of getting close to life-tap one of the snakes.
I don't blame you,
I told the warlock, feeling much better as I sat up. I've been in close and got creamed twice.
Where are you?
Amaranth's voice suddenly rang in my head.
Their wounds are grave, and they rally to one another for a last stand. Now is the time to strike at their throats and put an end to them.
I'm on my way,
I told the cat mentally while pushing myself back up onto my feet, glancing at my stats as I stood. HP 487 out of 737, stamina 249 out of 670, mana 30 out of 640.
Damn! I'm running out of mana,
I thought, just realizing now how fast I'd been burning through it. Not being able to regenerate anything at all is proving to be a colossal pain.
Let's get back to it!
I told Caius as I twisted towards the sounds of battle, seeing that both of the snakes had broken free of their respective engagements and were now fighting side by side a short distance away from us as the surviving adventurers rushed to form a loose circle around the pair.
Looks like the snakes are just about done.
I hope so,
the warlock replied wearily as he hefted his skull-tipped staff in the air.
I'm just about out of mana.
Me too,
I told Caius as we broke into a run, seeing his worried look out of the corner of my eye. Everyone in the party knew what would happen to me if I happened to run out of mana.
Should be fine, though.
The two of us rushed closer to the battle, which had fallen into a momentary lull as everyone adjusted to the snake's positioning, only a handful of arrows and spells flying through the air. The two snakes hissed angrily, their heads whipping through the air as they snapped at the closing ring of adventurers, slowly realizing that they had bitten off more than they could handle, their scales now covered in countless wounds and blood.
Freya!
I called out as Caius and I rejoined the group, relieved to see that the blonde-haired woman appeared to be relatively unscathed, standing beside Lazarus and Sawyer.
How are we doing?
We've lost three so far, with two more seriously injured. I just sent Alistair to heal them and get them back on their feet.
Freya wasted no time in replying, a note of relief evident in her voice as she turned to look towards me, blood and dirt covering her face.
The gray one may be slow, but he hits really hard.
The green one has a paralytic bite, Caius informed. We've lost one for sure, with four bitten, but we won't know for sure if any of the bitten ones have survived until after the battle.
Great!
Lazarus spat, turning to look at me with a hard expression and waving a rather impressive-looking glass greatsword at the two snakes.
We need to take them down now, before this gets any more out of hand.
No argument from me,
I replied while scanning the area and seeing the rest of the party and a handful of the still-standing recruits spread out loosely around the two serpents.
Looks like everyone is as ready as they're gonna get. Let's go finish this.
Wait,
Sawyer interrupted as Frey and I took a step forward.
That's it? We're just going to charge them and hope for the best? You have a better idea in mind?
Freya asked impatiently.
Literally, anything less suicidal, maybe, he grunted.
Enough, Sawyer!
Lazarus growled as he stepped up beside Freya and me.
It's not like this'll be our first suicidal charge.
I know,
the red-armored man exclaimed.
Why do you think I'm trying to avoid another one?
You lived through the last one,
Lazarus said dismissively as he glanced over at me.
Let's go.
Right, I replied, taking another step forward as I broke into a sprint, mentally shaking my head at the pair. Leading the charge into battle for the third time, I felt a familiar calm descend over me as I focused on the two moss snakes, seeing their heads snap in our direction as they spotted us.
Spread out!
I shouted, the four of us quickly putting distance between one another in hopes of forcing the snakes to choose between two of us to attack, giving the other two a chance to close with the creatures unmolested. Fortunately for all of us, it worked. Though, unfortunately for me, it was because they both decided that I was the most appealing target amongst the charging attackers.
Oh, shit!
My mind raced in panic as I instinctively threw myself forward into a somersault, diving under the green snake's sweeping maw and rolling back up onto my feet, only to find myself staring point-blank into the open mouth of its mate. My mind blanked as I tried to turn and twist my body out of the way, reflexively casting Blink Step in an attempt to get away. But instead of seeing a blur of colors as I shifted locations, a bright red message appeared in my vision, followed by a sad chime. You do not have enough mana to cast this spell.
I'm screwed,
I realized with a sickening sensation, time slowing down just enough for the thought to cross my mind, my foot coming down on the ground as my momentum continued to carry me forward.
There's no way I can dodge in time.
But despite the futility of my situation, I still tried, awkwardly planting my other foot on the ground in an attempt to sidestep my impending doom, only to see the gargantuan snake adjust to follow me, causing the little hope I had in my chest begin to die. But a heartbeat before I was about to accept my fate, a streak of azure caught the corner of my eye, racing across the ground faster than I could follow. With a feral roar filling the air, I caught a single glimpse of Amaranth as he left the ground and slammed into the snake, the impact of nearly 800 pounds of angry puma causing its head to snap awkwardly to the side, succeeding in only clipping my shoulder before slamming into the ground with a crash.
You run about like a blind kitten who wishes to be eaten.
Amaranth's mental voice thundered through my head as I spun from the snake's glancing blow.
Assist me before it regains its senses.
Stumbling wildly, I struggled to maintain my balance as I ground to a halt, wincing as pain flared from my shoulder. Glancing upwards towards the snake, I spotted Amaranth on the side of the snake's head, having sunk all four claws into the creature's face as he brutally rent apart scales and flesh, going as far as to expose bone in places. "Thanks, Amaranth!" I called to my familiar, and I forced myself to move, not wanting to waste his timely intervention that would have surely seen me respawning back in Oldford. Rushing in close to the panicking snake as it began to thrash under Amaranth's vicious assault, I took advantage of the cat's distraction, thrusting my blade deep into the base of its head, just under its jaw as it swung towards me. Aided by the snake's motion, I felt Razor grate against bone as it pierced through scales and sunk into flesh, stopping only when the hilt wouldn't allow it to go any further. Freezing in surprise from the attack, the snake let out a strangled cry before desperately trying to lift its head further away from the ground, burdened by the oversized puma still latched onto its face. Unable to pull Razor free and too stubborn to let it go, I found myself lifted off the ground as the snake rose to nearly its full height, the motion forcing me to grab the hilt of my sword with both hands to keep myself from falling.
"This wasn't exactly what I had in mind for today,"
the stray thought crossed my mind as I hung high in the air, holding onto my sword with my legs dangling in the air, feeling the flesh surrounding the blade begin to rip and tear, unable to support my weight indefinitely.
"Damn it, Marcus!"
I cursed myself as I looked down at the ground and found it further away than was comfortable.
"You just taught Alistair this morning about when to let go of his weapon, and now you're hanging from a giant snake's throat because..."
I shut my mouth with a snap as I looked up at the snake, realizing just where I had buried my blade. "That might work," I told myself softly as I turned to look back down towards the ground with a grimace. "I suppose a little bit more falling damage won't kill me, hopefully." Taking a heartbeat to gather my courage, I gently pulled myself up, gripping Razor tightly until I was almost level with the hilt protruding from the snake's flesh. Taking a single deep breath, I then let my weight drop, yanking the blade with all my strength as I fell, the motion causing Razor to slice deep into the snake's flesh from within. Almost instantly, the snake roared in pain, its body trembling from the unexpected attack, as the blade wreaked havoc to its throat. Wasting no time, I repeated the motion a second time, feeling Razor shift as it sliced through the flesh that kept it in place, a thick spurt of blood spilling from around the wound and onto my hands and face.
"One more time,"
I thought, spitting out a mouthful of blood that rained down from above me, silently praying that I wouldn't lose my grip on my now slick blade, the snake now desperately shaking me side to side as it tried to dislodge me, to no avail. Heaving one final time, I felt my blade carve through the final layers of flesh and scale as I split open the snake's throat, a torrent of blood raining down on me as I fell to the ground. Landing feet first with a heavy crash, I felt something snap in one of my ankles as I fell to the ground in a heap.
"Can't believe that worked,"
I muttered to myself, my hand instinctively gripping what had to be a broken ankle as I glanced upward, seeing the gray moss snake flailing wildly in the air as it began its death throes. A torrent of blood gushed from its throat as it swayed drunkenly in the air, teetering from side to side before it finally lost its balance and collapsed to the ground with a thunderous crash.
"You slew it,"
Amaranth called to me in a triumphant voice, the cat having jumped off the falling snake from an angle I couldn't see.
"Only one remains."
Before I could reply to Amaranth, a screeching cry ripped through the air, causing me to twist my head and look in the direction of the noise. Spotting Lazarus standing on top of a length of the emerald moss snake's body, his translucent sword cleaving a massive wound through its flesh. With something critical being damaged in the attack, the lower half of the snake's body immediately went limp, causing its bulk to collapse to the ground lifelessly. Flailing off balance, the upper half of its body swayed perilously as severed nerves refused to respond, sending the creature's head dipping towards the ground. Sensing that the battle was nearly at its end, I heard a cheer rise up from the surviving adventurers as a renewed wave of magic and arrows reached up to scour the mortally wounded snake, its body contorting wildly in an attempt to shield itself from the onslaught. As the ranged attackers continued to damage the massive creature, I saw a familiar blonde-haired figure race up the snake's drooping body before leaping powerfully into the air, a gleaming spear fully outstretched before her. With a wordless battle cry heralding her attack, Freya then slammed into the snake's descending head, her spear piercing through the creature's skull and deep into its brain, sending it crashing into the ground with a sickening finality, the rest of its body joining it a heartbeat after. Holding back my relief, I glanced at my combat log, looking for confirmation that the battle was over. You have slain a gray moss snake. You have gained experience. Freya has slain an emerald moss snake. You have gained party experience. That was too close. I breathed silently as the adrenaline in my body began to fade and was slowly replaced with a gnawing